As we were looking at chapter 39 and we're seeing Joseph and how he had been brought to Egypt to Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, this Egyptian who bought him, we see that even in the midst of this time of his life with captivity in it, we see him prospering, right? And this prospering happens because he was a man that was walking with the Lord. We see that he was a man who followed the Lord even in tough times. And guys, now listen, I'm not going to sell you some sort of health and wealth thing this morning to somehow tell you that if you start walking with the Lord that everything is going to turn up daisies and all of that. Because we see even in Joseph's life, there was much hardship that happened, right? The Lord was blessing, but at the same time, there was oppression in his life because he was in captivity. And so we see this balance of real life, and even in the midst of real life, the Lord blesses and he is helping and he is walking with Joseph. And in our lives, he does much of the same thing. But what I want to turn our attention to today is the integrity that we see in the midst of Joseph's life, in an opportunity, in a time in which he wouldn't have had to show integrity. He could have done what he wanted. He follows the Lord. And in this, we too should direct our lives into being people of integrity, much like Joseph. And so as we look at integrity, let's define it before we get started. The definition for integrity is this: it's the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. There's a moral uprightness in integrity. When we look at our lives, when we look at the life of Joseph, we see this moral integrity. Can you agree with that this morning? Yeah, absolutely. We see this integrity, this moral uprightness, this honest living that we see in Joseph's life and we see in the life of many other men and women of the Bible. But he also wants to show that within our lives. He wants us to show forth a life of integrity. And so as we think about integrity, let's look at Joseph's life in chapter 39. We see a man of integrity walks with the Lord. We see that in verses 2 and 3, right? He had been sold into hard labor into the Egyptians' hands, but he was brought down from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. Verse 2, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. The cool part of this verse is this, is that even though he was in captivity, even though he had been sold, even though he had been wronged, the Egyptian master saw what? Do you see that? What did he see? He saw that he was with the Lord, right? He was in the house of him in verse 3. His master saw that the Lord was with Joseph. A man of integrity is one who walks with the Lord. If you are a believer in Christ this morning, to have integrity in your life, you have to walk with the Lord if you call yourself a son or the daughter of the Lord. If you don't walk with the Lord and you call yourself a son or a daughter of the Lord, there's a problem with your integrity. Can you see that? Because if we're going to be honest and have a moral uprightness, that comes with walking with the Lord if you claim to be his child. Do you see that? I want to be plain about this morning. I want us to understand, because there is a lot of folks who don't walk with integrity but yet call themselves a son or a daughter of the King, and it's making a mockery of the Lord's name. It causes people to walk away from their faith. Because why would I want to look like them? Because they look like everyone else. And so when we walk with the Lord, we have to understand there has to be a moral uprightness that comes only from the Father. Why? Because we are walking with him. And we see that as he is walking with him, he was successful in the things in which he did. Walking with the Lord sometimes is difficult because we don't know the outcome. But let me tell you guys, walking on your own, you don't know the outcome either. So why lean on your expectations when you can lean on the one who has it all under control? Proverbs tells us this in chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. I want to read through 7 because 7 is a verse that I think sometimes gets left behind, and it should not. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7 reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your paths straight. Verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You want to walk with integrity? That means you have faith and you lean in to the things of the Lord. Even when times get tough. Because in the midst of those tough times, let me tell you, people are looking at how your life looks. People are looking at what you're saying that you are. Your life has to line up with your words, especially in the tough times. Because if it does not, we cannot call ourselves people of integrity. We are to be walking, we are to be leaning, we are to be pushing into the Lord. A man of integrity walks with the Lord and people take notice. Have you ever had an opportunity to walk into a situation and maybe you're not there sharing the gospel, which, you know, I mean, we all should be sharing the gospel with our lives, but you're not pointed about it. You're just going about your day, and then people start talking to you about the things of the Lord because they sense something different about you. Have you ever had an opportunity like that? It's a neat opportunity. It brings chills to me. And those opportunities that the Lord kind of comes up organically in the midst of a situation or a conversation. But there are people that I know that when I think of them, when I see them, I see the fingerprints of the Lord all over them. And the way in which they live their lives draw people to them because they can tell that there's something different. I may have told you this story. I'm going to tell it to you again. I had a good friend who's gone to be with the Lord. His name is Jimmy Seaman. And Jimmy Seaman was a mentor of mine. He was a friend of mine at my first church that I served in Buna, Texas. And he wasn't a pastor. He wasn't anything like that. He was a lay leader. But he was a man who diligently and with everything he had loved the Lord. And he worked in a plant. In fact, he'd made his way up in the plant and made his way to a point of being in an administration position. He had an office and people in his office that worked with him, and we would talk with him, and he was getting to the time of retirement age, and people would ask, so Jimmy, how long before you retire? How long before you hang it up and do what you want to? And Jimmy's response dealt with who was working in his office, not his own wants. He would say things like this, well, there's three people in my office that still need to come to know the Lord. And so I'm going to work until everyone in my office knows the Lord. And so even in the midst of plant life, and I've never lived or worked within a plant, but some of you have, but I have friends who've worked in the plant, and they say that life inside the plant can be tough, right? And there's a lot of roughness that happens within the plant and the people and their personalities, but when you have a man like that who is walking with the Lord and says, you know what, I'm here until my job is done with the Lord, and my Lord has told me that what he wants me to do is share the gospel with my office. And so I'm going to walk there until they know the Lord. That's something special. And before the Lord took him home, he was able to retire. Because everyone in his office had accepted Christ. When people were around him, there was just something special about Jimmy Seaman. Now we have another friend that works in Canada. We're partnering with him. We had several guys go up and work with him. He's a church planter up there. And some of the reason and the ways in which he's been able to work in an area that they don't want anything to do with Jesus is because of the way in which he walks with the Lord. Unwilling to waver. Walking closely with him, regardless of the situation. Why? Because he knows that his time with the Lord is the most important. And because of that, he's had great opportunities to share the love of the Lord with the world around him in a tough, tough place. Not only because it's cold, because there's a darkness there that's unbelievable with the First Nations people. And he's making an inroad. Why? Because he's a man of integrity. They see him and they understand that there's something different about him. Because his life follows after the life giver. Joseph's life followed after the life giver. And it was apparent in his life. People took notice that the Lord walked with Joseph, or Joseph walked with the Lord. And because that, things prospered under his care. Guys, listen, things may not completely blow up under your care, but I'm telling you, as we walk with the Lord, there are spiritual things that happen that bless us and enrich our lives more than your pocketbook. And I'm telling you, at the end of the day, it's much more important to have a large bank account with the Father than it is to have a large bank account at Bancorp South or wherever you bank. Because we're to be people who show integrity as we walk with the Lord, and it should be apparent in our lives, because as we walk with the Lord, even in difficult situations, we magnify the love of the Lord that is with us daily. Can you say that you do that in your life? Now, none of us are perfect, but we should be striving to be just like the Lord. We mess up. But when we mess up, we get up and we continue to walk. We continue to seek after the Father. We see a man of integrity walks with the Lord, and the things in his hand and in his pathway were going well. And so Pharaoh gave him more opportunity. Potiphar gave him more opportunity to grow the things and put more things under his charge, because he didn't have to worry about Joseph, because Joseph was a man who could be counted on. When we get to verse 7, we see that there's times that a man of integrity needs to have boundaries. We'll start with verse 6. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food in which he ate. Now Joseph was a man, handsome in form and appearance, and after a time his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. He's put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" I want you to understand something. I want you to see something in verse 9. He did not say, "How can I do such a wickedness and sin against God?" Potiphar. Do you see that? He wasn't worried about the man. He was worried about his relationship with the Lord. And when he worries about his relationship with the Lord, he takes care of his relationship with the man. Do you see that? And so because he was going to walk with integrity and follow after the Lord, he didn't have to worry about how it was going to look with Potiphar, because he knew that if he walked with the Lord, he was going to take care of that relationship. And so when Potiphar's wife came by and said, "Hey man, you look pretty good. Let's go out on a date. Because I want to stay PG, right? And let's get together. You're in charge around here." Joseph said, "No, man, I can't. I won't." Why? Not because it's going to mess up this relationship, but because I want to follow the Lord. And because I want to follow the Lord, I'm not going to do things that would sin against my Father. Why? Because I love him more than the prettiest lady in all the land. I love him more than the best job that money can buy. I love him more than anything. And so I am willing to follow. We see a man of integrity knows his boundaries. You say, "Well, Brother Derek, how can we know the boundaries that the Lord wants us to follow?" By reading your Bible. When we are people of God's Word, we hide it in our heart. Why? So that we may not sin against the Father. So if you want to know how the boundaries in your life should be, pick up the Bible. And read it. Let it wash over your life and change and breathe air into your lungs. He says, I will not sin against God. We see this also in the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age." As a believer in Christ, we are to be desiring to live upright, righteous lives. So that means we need to know what that looks like. And to know what that looks like means we have to press into the things of God. We have to press into His Word and read His Word and know His Word and not just passively read it, but ingest it and understand it. Because if you don't, it's so easy to compromise. And when we compromise, we lose our ability to be people of integrity. Compromise is a word that gets a lot of use today. And I'm not saying that there's not times in our life that we should look to meet people halfway, but when it comes to following the Lord, there is only God's way. There's only God's way. And so when we bump up against that, when we read His Word and we understand the boundaries that He set for us, we have to be people who are willing to walk within those boundaries. If you're not willing to walk within those boundaries, you're compromising God's Word, therefore losing your integrity, therefore making a mockery of the love that is within you. And so when we look at our lives, we're the people who seek after the Father. We're to be people who are living upright because we know the boundaries that we're to stay within. Are you awake this morning? All right. There's just a lot of sleepiness, especially over in this area. Wake up, right? Yeah, we've got to be people that are unwilling to compromise on the things of the Lord. When we start compromising the Word of the Lord, we will compromise everything. We see that everywhere, right? When people start making statements like this, "This is my truth." What? There's only one truth, right? But no, this is my truth. No. There's the truth that we find in the Word of God. So when I look at something, I know that it is what it is. Otherwise, I start calling red balloons blue balloons because that's my truth. When I see blue, I see red. That doesn't make any sense. And so when we walk with the Lord, we are people who are bound to His Word, uncompromising. Why? Because when we do that, we are people of integrity that walk with the Lord. And through walking with the Lord, we gain the Lord's blessings within our lives because we are where He wants us to be. And that's with Him. People talk about how do we gain the blessings of the Lord? You walk with the Lord. You know His Word. You unwaveringly hold to it. And it's tough from time to time because the flesh pulls against that. But here's the great thing. When we walk with the Lord, because we have the Lord within us, because we have the Holy Spirit guiding and leading us, even in the midst of the times when we want to push away from that and we want to pull away from it, we have someone who leads us through the tough times. Who never leaves us or never forsakes us. Why? Because He loves us. And because He loves us, He wants us to be with Him. And so as we know that, we want to walk as a person of integrity. We want to have a life that is much like Joseph's in the way in which he is a man of uprightness and integrity who would not lay with Potiphar's wife. But we see that didn't settle with her very well now, did it? Verse 10, it says, "And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he wouldn't listen to her or lie beside her or be with her." He was a smart man. Verse 11, "But one day when he went into the house to do the work and none of the men of the house were there in the house, she caught him by his garment and said, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and fled from the house. As soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled out of the house, she called to the men of the household and said to them, 'See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came in to lie with me and cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that, I lifted my voice and cried out. He left his garment beside me and he fled and got out of the house.' Then she laid up his garment by her and waited till the master came home. And she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to laugh at me. And as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me, and he fled out of the house." If you are a man of integrity, if you are a woman of integrity, first, you walk with the Lord. Second, you know his boundaries. And when temptation comes, you flee. You flee temptation. You get away from it. Why? Because you know that we can't handle it on our own. We know that when we walk too closely to temptation, we fall within it. And so Joseph, instead of having this long conversation about why he wouldn't do that, he got out of Dodge. Church, listen, we would be mindful to do the same when temptation arises in our hearts and in our minds. We get out of Dodge. We run away, right? Many times this picture of fleeing has a negative connotation. But in this case, it is the most positive thing you can do. When sin appears, we get away from it. If we are to be people of integrity, we have to know our boundaries. And when we are tempted, we need to flee, much like Joseph did. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee these youthful passions so that we can pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." That heart's pure because of the love of the Lord. And then we flee sinful desires. Now, Joseph could have visited with her, right? He could have hung out and try to build a relationship with her, and maybe try to do other things to try to soften this possibility. But if there was anything within Joseph that had a possibility of falling into it, he would have been in trouble. I say it like this, guys. In our lives, we try to get as close as we can to sin without falling into sin. I've been here 9 months, and y'all are counting the moments until I fall off this stage because I like to stand this closely to the edge. I hear it all the time. You say, "Brother Derek, you hang your feet off there." I know. I want to get close to you, right? But many of us, this looks like our lives. We know the boundaries as the Lord has set them. We know the difference between right and wrong. And instead of getting way away from the wrong things, we want to walk right here and tempt it. "Oh, God, I've got this under control. Don't worry about me. I've been walking this tightrope for a long time." And the next thing you know, we're right off in the middle of it. Guys, it happens. We can sit there and we smile and we kind of chuckle about it because we know it's true. Right? Yeah. We know it's true. And so instead of walking on the line, right, of sin, we need to be people that are way over here. As far away from it as we possibly can get. So as that we wouldn't fall off of that. You know, before I came here, I was in Hemphill, Texas, and our daughter played T-ball, and T-ball is from the devil. And so I herded cats for a whole T-ball season. And we would go to a place called Pineland. I don't know if you know where it's at. It's the land of the pines, right? It's Pineland. And so we went over there to play T-ball, and we were talking with some of the parents on the team, and it got to the point to where they shut off the lights on us because that's what they do in Pineland because they don't care for Hemphill folk too much, right? There's this crazy rivalry. And so as we were standing there literally on the field, they just turn off the lights. And so we went out, and they make us park like way, you know, way about, you know, 300 or 400 yards away from the field. Like, we have to park way out there. And so we're walking out there, and you have to walk to the end of the fence, and you have to turn and walk around the back of the fence of the field. Now, in the middle of that, there's this huge mud hole. And we had to drive through it when we got there, and so we're there and we're walking in, and there's about this much space between the mud hole and the fence on one side, and there's plenty of space on the other side. So when me and my family walk up there, you know where we went? Through this space. Because it was a shortcut. I mean, really, come on, guys. It's a shortcut. Who actually wants to walk 10 extra steps, right? And so here we are in the dark at night. I mean, it was really dark. Lauren knows this story well. She likes to tell it. And so I'm walking next to the mud hole, and I'm trying to keep Allie and Lauren up against the fence as best as I can, but I'm awful close to this mud hole. And I'm trying my best to stay out of it. I mean, you guys, you see how I walk up here. I've got great reflexes, I'm quick as a cat. But as I'm walking, the unexpected happens. Allie slips a little bit. And when she does, she gives me ever so slightly the elbow. And I'm in. Like, I'm not talking about in. I'm talking slid up to the shoulders. Like, I am in. I'm in. And I'm furious. But I should know better, right? Because I walked on the edge. Guys, in our lives, when we walk too closely to sin, we end up covered in mud. We end up dirty in the sin that we're trying to avoid by walking on the edge. So when we get to those points of our lives, when we get to the point of knowing that we have temptation, we need to flee the evil. Because that's what people of integrity do. You know, Joseph could have possibly had an affair with this lady for years. And nobody might have ever known the wiser, because he was in charge of most of what was going around there. But if he would have done that, he would have wrecked what the Lord was doing in his life and the life of the folks around him. Now, the Lord can use anybody and everybody, but he wants to use those who are walking with him. So instead of falling into the mud, Joseph did the honorable thing, the thing of integrity. And he resisted temptation. Now we know that it landed him into a bad spot. But guys, listen, even in the midst of the bad spot, the Lord was with him still and working mightily within his life. Do you see that at the end of the chapter? Although he found himself in prison, he became the point man of the prison. Why? Because even in the midst of the hardship, he walked with the Lord, and the Lord was blessing his life. Because he was a man of integrity. Church, this morning, we need to be people of integrity. Even when the going gets tough, even when things get crazy, even when we feel like everyone is against us. Why? Because the Lord is using us and working within our lives. And he wants to work within your life. But we have to be willing to be people of integrity. We have to be willing to repent and to walk with the Lord. We have to be willing to flee temptation. And so as we go to our time of prayer today, the question is this: are you a person of integrity? Are you walking with the Lord and following him, allowing him to set your boundaries, and then being willing to flee the youthful passions? Because the Lord is with us and wants to help us in that. Do you understand that? Like, he loves us and gave us the opportunity to grow in our knowledge of him, so that when we know him, we can press into the things of him, and then he sets up the world for us. That's what we see in Ephesians 2, right? It says that when we walk with him, he prepares beforehand things for us to walk in as children of the Father. So that when we know him and we walk with him, and we hold tightly to him, he's got our life set up. We just have to follow. And as we follow, we get to see the great things that the Lord is doing. If you stick with us to the end of the series, or if you have read ahead, which hopefully you've read the story of Joseph before, You understand that all of this stuff that is going on is for a purpose. It's for a reason. It's because he was using Joseph to save Israel. And so we don't always understand the hardships that we find ourselves in. But let me tell you, the Lord doesn't, he doesn't forget and not use the things that are going on in our lives. He doesn't forget about you. He's using where you are to make more of him. And he wants to use us. We just have to follow. We have to follow. Maybe this morning you feel like you're floundering in life because you're trying to do all this on your own and you can't figure it out. There's a reason why it's tough. It's because you have a God-shaped, a Christ-shaped hole in your life. And the Lord says, if you will give yourself to me, if you will put your life in the hands of my Son, who lived a perfect life, who died on a cross to take care of your sin problem, if you would give yourself to him, that he would fill that hole in your life. He would give you purpose and direction. He'll give you the Holy Spirit who never leaves you or forsakes you. So maybe you're here this morning and you've been walking on your own and you're tired of it. Come to the Father. Let him breathe new life into you. Maybe you have a relationship with him, but you're not walking with him. The Lord says, repent and come back. I'm ready and I'm willing to pick up with you right where you left off. Come back. So that we can be people of integrity who walk with the Lord just as Joseph did. Amen? So here's how we're going to play this out at the end. If you've been here, you know how this works. If you're visiting, this may be a little bit different, but it's going to be good. We're going to have a time of prayer. James is going to come up. The praise team will come up here in just a few moments, and they'll start playing some music. I'm going to pray with you, and then we'll have probably 30 to 45 seconds of just silence so that you can pray. You can seek the Lord. Because I don't want us to walk out of here and have an opportunity to just kind of shrug off what the Lord is doing in our lives. I want you to have opportunity to deal with that. And so we'll have time of prayer. If you want to come to the altar, you can pray. And after a few minutes, we'll stand and we'll sing praises to our Lord and Savior. At that point in time, if you'd like to come down and make any type of decision known, whether you would like to join the church or tell the folks that you gave your life to Christ, when everyone stands, I invite you to come at that point in time. Visit with me and we'll move on from there. But what's most important is that over the next 2 minutes or so, that you do business with the Lord. It's not a mistake or some sort of crazy coincidence that you found yourself in the Lord's house this morning. The Lord wanted you here and he directed and got you here because he wanted to talk with you this morning. He wanted to show you his love, his grace, his mercy. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, as we come to you broken people in need of a Savior, Father, several of us, some of us here know you personally, Father, but we know that even in the midst of knowing you and walking with you, there's times that we need to repent and ask you to forgive us of our failings and our sinfulness so that we can walk with you in the way that you have called us to walk with you. So this morning, Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to repent of some sort of sinfulness, Lord, they would take the time to do that this morning because you want them, you love them, you want them to be free of that sin. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would hear your word and we would see the life of Joseph and we would desire to be people of integrity. Lord, I also pray, Father, if there's someone here that needs your love, your salvation, who has not experienced it, that this morning would be a day, would be the day that they know you fully, that they would begin to worship you for who you are and for what you have done, because you have first loved us. And so, Father, open our eyes, our hearts for you. Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful that you give us each and every breath in our lungs to come to you, to walk with you, to share your love. Lord, let us be people that do that. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. If you would, just continue to pray. If you don't want to pray, we ask that you just sit silently. But we want to use this time to seek the Lord.